Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. We apologize for our lateness, but it is a celebration of the country's birth. The 4th of July, I was out east on Long Island. I had some friends come and stay with me for the week. Very nice people, people I used to know. And I still know them. But do I? No, I'm kidding. I love them, and they were with me. And it's very nice to bring people, you know, out east, out to the Hamptons that don't have a ton of experience with it, because they're always aghast at the cost of all the things. You know, a tomato, so much money. Why does it cost so much money? Well, you know, it's scarcity principle. And by the way, there is this idea, though, out there that everything's $1 million. It's not true. All these articles that come out now, it's like rage bait. They just want people to be angry. They're like, this melon costs $400 in the Hamptons. And you're like, no, it doesn't. That's not real. There's a couple specialty food stores that you can get really silly, expensive shit. But who cares? That you could do that literally anywhere, but it's just funny, the rage bait headlines. This melon is $400 in the Hamptons. Lobster salad's $100 a pound in the, and it's always food. This potato is $8,000 in the, like, and it's not. It's actually not. Yes, food is expensive. But food is expensive anywhere. And obviously, it's more expensive in a place where most people that live there are wealthy. Obviously, not everyone is, but the vast majority of people have the money and they can charge people whatever the fuck they want and they get away with it. But it's just so funny. It's like the rage and the anger that people have. The problem I'm having with all of life right now is this. Everyone goes, I hate those people. I would never want to be a part of that. And then they're angry also that it's not they're not a part of it. They go, I hate it. I would, even if I had the money. You hear that a million times, by the way. Even if I had the money, I would never even. And you go, okay, great. Who cares? I'm not a skier. I've you know, if I went to Aspen tomorrow, I would not feel the need to go, even if I had the money, I would never build, I would never have a chalet in Aspen because I don't even, who care? No one cares what you would do with money you don't have. No one, someone needs to explain this to people. No one cares what you would do with the fantasy budget you don't have. My friends have a lot more money than I do. A lot of comedian friends I have a lot more. And a lot of my, you know, people I know in the world have a lot more money than I do. And I never start conversations by going, well, even if I had the money, I actually wouldn't buy that thing. No one cares. It's such a weird thing that all people across socioeconomic backgrounds do. It has nothing to do with anything. I've heard people with a lot of money say this. I've heard people with no money say it. And it's just this, we in this country, we have become convinced that we need to be telling people all the time the lives that we would live if we could, and how we would be just and fair if we had the things that everyone else had. Boy, I do it differently. I have a friend that goes, I'd never get a nice car, even if I had the money. I go, that's probably not true. Well, I never would. I don't care about cars. No one who gets a nice car cares about cars. That's not the way it works. That's not what I was not a passionate aficionado of cars before I got a nice car. I wasn't like in the driveway putting together a car. I like to build it from the ground up. No, 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 no. You have the ability to do something, you do it. And I'm not saying that money's the be-all and end-all of life. In fact, the happiest people I know, like really, and I realized this, I took my friends out on a boat. We went out on a boat. We rented a boat. And it's nice. I was a good friend of their father. I was actually more friends with their father than them. I like them. But their father was great. He had three DWIs and a BWI, boating while intoxicated. And I got in two boating accidents with this man. He was so fun, I got in a second boating accident with him. That's how fun he was. The kids are fine. Now, he's no longer with us, RIP. And his children, who are great, were with me. And we all went out on a boat. I said, I'll get a boat and we'll go out on a boat. And, you know, we drive around. We look at these houses at Shelter Island. Even if I had... But then you're up there on that cliff. I don't know if I like the cliff or if I don't. I can't decide whether it's good to have the house on the cliff or not. It's long walk to the beach in that. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay, okay. But here's the reality. I realize this. Now, the boat had this nice couple. I think they were dating. They were probably fucking at the very least. And they explained to me their lives. And I feel like these are the lives most people need to live. And then we'll get into some news and some current events and what's happening. Alligator, Alcatraz, whatever. But I think what we need to do is start directing people into the lives they need to live. Actually, truly, it's going to be a tough 10 years for most of you. Most of you have no idea what's about to happen to you. Some younger people listen to the show. Listen up, public service announcement, truly. I'm not kidding. You know, this is a special time of to check in. July 4th to me is always a check-in. How are we doing? How's the country doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing as you light that meth pipe on the couch? And there's nothing wrong with that. Like and subscribe. Support the Patreon. But education means nothing. Let's just be honest. Being a smart person in our society has almost no value. In fact, it's annoying. Most people don't even like it. It's off-putting. In fact, if you're smart and don't have a lot of money, people will actively hate you. I grew up with people that were like somewhat intelligent and had nothing to show for it. That is like the least American quality ever. Knowledge for the sake of it. I'm an armchair philosopher. I can expound on many things, but I have nothing. That doesn't work here. That's maybe a European trait. I don't know where that, maybe that's an Irish thing. You sit there in Dublin with a pint and chat and talk. That doesn't work here in this country. So I just do want to tell people that if you're planning on that, like I have a cousin who's like that. He's like, are you reading anything? I'm like, you are homeless. I didn't really like that. I found it to be like pop fiction. That's not what I like. Okay. That quality of if that's your plan to just be like smart and well-read and a good conversationalist, you are fucked. I'm telling you, you are shot. There is nothing left for you if that's your plan. I know a lot of people that's their plan. They are so in love with their, and they tell people where they've traveled. Another thing, traveling. If that's your bag, you are shot. If you think you're going to get ahead in life telling people where you've been, you are done. Everyone travels and no one cares. No one cares where you've gone. No one cares about your photo. No one. The dumbest people I know are invariably the most well-traveled. They're constantly hopping from Ibiza to the south of France, to Italy, to Greece, and they know nothing. They couldn't tell you one thing about any of those countries. best case, they remember a dessert they had in Spain. That's it. They know nothing. Constantly jet setting is not only immaterial. I'm sure it's lovely and fun, and I've hopped around. It's fun to hop around, but it's ultimately meaningless. If you think you're going to spend your 20s traveling and gaining experiences that are going to be valuable later in your life, it is your shot. Your shot. Truly. So education, your shot. Traveling and gaining experiences in the world, your shot. If you think that you're going to invent something that hasn't been figured out before, you are shot. What are you, nuts? We have that. Oh, yeah? Oh, what's the app do? Shut up. We have it. Oh, you haven't heard of it? We've got it. I use it. It's on here. If you think you're going to invent something that someone hasn't thought of, you're shot. It's not happening. If you think you're going to make a friend whose parents own a business and they're going to then put you in a position of power within that business, that might work. I don't know. But ultimately, for the vast majority of you, statistically, you're shot. You're not going to make that friend. That friend doesn't want anything to do with you. You don't bring enough to the table. So if you think you're going to, oh, well, my circle of friends, I have a great circle of friends. You hear these people? My circle of friends, I know a lot of people. The biggest bum is always pointing out who they know. That's the biggest bum thing ever. Well, my friend's mother used to work for a rich guy, and he always brought it up. He'd be like, well, my mother works. I forget his name. I'm not going to use his real name, but he's like, Mr. Miller owns a lot of property, and my mother takes care of it for him. You're shot. Listen to me now. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to work on a boat. You're going to work on a boat. This is what you're going to do. Between the months of June and September, you're going to work on a boat. Between Memorial Day and Labor Day, you're going to work on a boat. And then you're going to go down to Florida and continue to work on a boat off season. But in Florida, it's actually on season. The vast majority of people in this country are going to be struggling against forces they cannot even comprehend, that I can't comprehend. Things like AI that are going to transform our entire society. You're going to work on a boat. You're not starting a business. You're not going to run a hardware store. You're not going to invent something. You're not going to start a profitable restaurant. The novel you're writing sucks. You're not going to do any of the things in your mind that you think you were going to do. You're going to work on a boat. And it's not bad. There's a certain type of person in this country. They're in pretty good shape. They actually are pretty good shape. They're good looking and not great looking, but there's a high fuckability factor to them. They start drinking young and realize that is how they connect emotionally with the world. They take shots out of little plastic shot glasses and then in a bar called Shark Bar or the Land Shark or something. They have like dirty white sneakers and they're just getting crazy. To Tiesto's song, The Business. And they're drinking and they see their girls and their guy. This type of person is the person who's watching hours and hours and hours of Love Island. They can't get enough of it. They want to discuss it. Not only is it on, but they want to talk. They want to discuss it. Because they want to be on it. That's the holy grail for this type of person, is to be on a show like Love Island where they can be an animal for money. That's the goal of a lot of what we've created here, is people that are just looking to be an animal for money. They go, I'm fucking sucking, drinking, snorting, shooting, dancing. Anyway, Why not do this for money? And all of those people have actually, you know, it's the Below Deck show on Bravo. It's any of that. You're going to work on a boat. You're going to take people out on the boat. You're going to tell them about your life and that it's good. And in your head, that Tiesto song, The Business, will keep playing. It will never not be in your head. And it will be a low hum like a brain tumor. But it'll be the Tiesto song, The Business.
Get down to business.
And you will think when you're on the boat, you'll look out at the horizon and it's going to be really pretty. And you're going to say, yep, I started this just out of high school. And I said, I'll just do it for summer. 8 years later. And you will live in a bottle. And you will go out and dance and you will have a good life. It is a good life. It is a good, shut up. Stop asking for more than this. All of this shit is boring. I have dinner with these people all the time who run the world. They're boring. It's boring. Stop it. You're going to work on a boat. It's not even fun and you can't come anyway. So even if it was fun, you're not invited. You can't come, but it's not fun. So know that. You go on the boat. You help people onto the boat. You talk to them while they're on the boat. This is your life now. You learn about the sea. It's a thing. It's an actual thing. You're part of this like lineage of people. Are you Captain Ahab? Whatever. Maybe not. But you work on a boat. That is what you do. And every night you get drunk. Every night you get drunk at different bars and you become friends with the bartenders in this area where you work on the boat. And when your parents ask you what you're doing and they say, you age, you're going to age. Because the sun and the booze, you age a little bit. It's okay, it doesn't matter. Who cares? You're going to be a drunk old witch who works on a boat. But you got to stay hot for as long as you can. You got to stay hot for as long as you can because you're selling the image of, being like kind of a boat wench. A pirate wench. And then there's going to be a guy who works on the boat and you're going to fuck him. You're going to have sex with the guy that works on the boat. Neither one of you are going to have the emotional capacity to understand anything outside of the physical. And that's actually preferable and beautiful. And it's going to make a lot of sense. Your interactions with this person are going to be confusing because both of you lack the layers that would be needed to build and sustain something outside of this drunken life that you find yourselves on. But it doesn't matter. You don't want any of that. It's the next port for you. You're going to fall in love with somebody and around Labor Day, it's going to be over. It's one last fuck and then they're gone and you're gone. And maybe you'll see them next summer and maybe you won't. You're going to work on a boat. That's it. Oh, you're going to a SUNY school. I'm going to be a prosecutor. Hey. You know what you're going to do? You know what you're going to do, Alicia? You're going to work on a boat. And you're going to have sex with the boat captain. And he's going to get a tattoo. And you're going to sit there while he does. You're going to sit there while he does. Because this is the American middle class. You're not going to have any kids. Who cares? You can be a mother. You're going to be a mother. That's for the Muslims to have children, okay? And the Hispanics. You are a white, tan, ship wench witch. And your job is to dance.
Get down to business.
And you're just going to, because I was on a boat with these two people. They were lovely people. I actually liked them on. And I was blasting all these techno songs. And they were just driving this boat. And I rented a boat. I don't want to spend a lot of money on a boat. It was a 36-foot boat. It's not a small boat, but it's not a yacht where you don't see them. You're with them. It's me and my two friends.
I wouldn't even get that house if I had that money. I wouldn't even get the house. Why would I get that house? I wouldn't even get that house. I don't even like that house.
And them and these two people, and you start just blasting techno, and they're just like, and they're going up because I activated them. I activated their deep core. Their deep core. And I think that's what Americans need to prepare for. The life you thought you were going to live is actually no longer available to you, but there are good lives and good options. And one of them is working seasonally on a boat, drinking heavily, and having a really fun summer. And you become the old person at the bar pretty quick, but who cares? The kids get a kick out of you. You're a cautionary tale. People go, we don't want to be like Becky. Doesn't matter. You're an old witch, but you remember the good times. You look at pictures of yourself. Your profile picture is you from 10 years ago on the boat. That's your profile picture is you from 10 years. People think you died, actually. When people go to your social media, they think it's an in memoriam page. But that's it.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
Now this Diddy thing, this is another win for those courts we keep talking about, how great the courts are. I'm not saying that like we shouldn't have courts or that like Trump should be a dictator or whatever, but it is just funny that we are talking about the infallibility of the courts and how the courts, you know, everything's got to be decided in the courts. Okay. Somehow, think about this just in your own world. Somehow the jury heard the evidence and decided this guy was innocent. That's the jury in America. They heard the evidence. By the way, nobody didn't see this guy grab that bitch Cassie by the hair and drag her down a hallway. Everyone saw, even in the jury they saw, they lied and said they didn't. You didn't see any videos of Mr. Combs?
No.
Have you heard anything about the case?
No.
He's on camera dragging that woman down the hall by her hair, beating her, smacking her. They decide he's innocent. This guy is the guiltiest person who's ever lived. He's clearly guilty. But these people who are sitting there on the trial, listening to they bring up witness after witness, and then he took my head and he held it in the fish tank and I lost consciousness. Then it doesn't matter. The details that people were sharing on the stand were unreal. I guess it got to the point, maybe was the jury like, do you just hit a wall with it where you just don't care anymore? You just get desensitized? Yeah, mass rape. Oh, what? Oh, yeah, okay, he hooked electrodes up to your balls. All right. How does a jury listen to this? Racketeering, not guilty. Sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion, not guilty. Transportation to engage in prostitution, guilty. So he sent an Uber. He's guilty of that. Sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. Count four, not guilty. Count five, transportation to engage in prostitution. Guilty. He's guilty of sending an Uber for someone to suck his dick, but he's not guilty of sex trafficking. So here's what this means. The reason, and James Comey's daughter, by the way, James Comey, 8647, the guy who writes in shells, 8647, you know, when you're in a restaurant, you say 86 something, get it out of here. Could also mean eliminate it. Could also mean kill it. Weird to write that about a guy who dodged a bullet 6 months ago or a year ago now. But so you have James Comey's daughter is the person who, like, is working on these cases, working on, I believe, Ghislaine Maxwell, and certainly working on Diddy. Bring up James Comey's daughter. It's interesting. She's and all these cases are tried in the New York Southern District because that is the most political U.S. Attorney's Office, where they want people that have political aspirations to become governors and mayors and things like that, work in that office and get experience. They toe the line and they do what people want. So when you're having a Ghislaine Maxwell trial there, you're defining the scope of the inquiry so that it doesn't embarrass some of our luminaries, our presidents, our prime ministers, our whatever. And when you're doing the Diddy trial, you also figure out a way, I guess, to not, so that this guy somehow isn't convicted of these charges. So that's Maureen Comey and Sean Combs. Southern District, New York, is the same stepping stone for her father, James Comey, used to catapult himself to national prominence. The ex-FBI director and prominent Trump foe worked similarly as a federal prosecutor there in the 1980s when noted Trump ally Rudolph Giuliani was the Reagan-appointed U.S. attorney. So Madeleine Comey is the person who's, like, handling all of this stuff. Maureen Comey offered the prosecution's rebuttal prior to the jury being sent off to deliberate the charges against Combs. Maureen Comey argued from the dais that Combs never thought the woman he abused would have the courage to speak out loud about what he had done to them, and suggested the rapper believe he was untouchable. So, and she also offered arguments that Combs had been involved in firebombing a Porsche owned by Kid Cudi, whatever. It's clear that P. Diddy was running some type of honeypot in the same way that Epstein was. It's clear to most people. All we see in our society is notable figures that get caught having these parties, taping people, recording people against their will, and they all get off or they all die. They're all killed or they all get acquitted. Or like Ghislaine, they're doing a, you know, whatever, 10, 15 years or something in jail. But no other names ever come out. Nobody else is connected. These are huge networks of people. The scope of the inquiry into these is, like, very small. And then these guys just, from Epstein to Diddy, they just kind of, like, they die, they get acquitted, you know? And I mean, this is, like, this is one of those things you're just going to have to accept. That's the way it works. There's not going to be, like, a huge moment where they just cart off everybody who has all this money and power and implicate them in all this shit. It's one guy. It's like P. Diddy. It's this one dude and was a monster for sure. And then he'll get off. The jury just lets him off. The jury might have let Epstein off. The jury, you're dealing with American people in the jury. You're dealing with your own citizens in the jury. The people that I talked about on the boat are in the jury.
Let's get down to business.
And they're listening to this, and the Tiesto's The Business is playing in their head during the entire trial.
Let's get down to
business. The American people cannot be trusted to make a good decision in a jury box. I was in a jury box. We convicted the guy of murder, torture. They took away rape, I think. They took away torture and rape. But then we got him on murder one. I mean, he clearly killed this woman. But I was in a jury box, and I'm telling you right now that, good luck. Good luck. Now, I don't know what he's going to get. Some people are saying they're going to sense him for whatever. They're going to throw the book at him. But what is the book? He was not convicted on the charges of the things he did. He was convicted on, like, he transported someone for sex, but the sex trafficking. So, I mean, this is the way it's going to happen. You're going to see these things. They'll pop up occasionally. Every so often, one of these guys is going to pop up. He's going to get charged with something. You know, it's going to be salacious. Like, all the details that come out are going to be crazy. It's going to be like a private island. And then he'll be convicted of jaywalking. I mean, they'll plead it down to nothing. It'll be nothing. It'll be like he had a private island and a fuck machine, and he'd strap the politicians in it, and they would have orgasms. And then you're like, what did they convict him of? Tax fraud. Like, it won't matter. It won't matter. This is what you should realize by now. The more ridiculous the stories are, the less they're going to get convicted of. They'll start getting convicted of, like, traffic violations. And he's going to do a few years. I don't know how long he'll do. I don't know what he'll do. But this is not like, this guy's not going away. None of them are. None of them are. Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting there, and they're figuring something out. They'll either commute her sentence, they'll let her go, they'll kill her. Something somewhere will happen where they'll figure that out. But Epstein's either still alive somewhere or dead. And then Diddy's, he gets a leap because that's the way it works. You can't bring everyone there. They still need to do this. They still need to entrap people like this. Even though with technology it's less and less of a thing, they still need to have the ability to do this. Imagine pitching the next Diddy and going, well, we'd like you to do this, that, and the other. He's going to go, hey, what happened to these fucking people? Now they can go, oh, Epstein's actually still alive and Diddy, like, just is doing a year. And then the person goes, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, I'll do it. Yeah, parties, and I just put the cameras on. Yeah, that's fine. You got to always be able to, protect your people, protect your assets out there. And I just think with the American jury pool now, it's probably easier than you think to get people off. They're not paying attention. All you have to do really is look at them and, like, say something in a way. They're like, human trafficking. People are asking you to believe that the man over there is a human trafficker. He's trafficking people. Did you see him do it?
No. I didn't see him do it.
This is the types of people in the jury box. That's their voice. That's the way they all sound.
I didn't see him do it.
What even is human trafficking? I ask you that.
I don't know what it is. I want water. I want a drink of water.
A lot of people have said a lot of stuff on that stand, but it's all lies.
Yeah, okay.
They lied.
Yeah, they did.
That's what you're getting. That's what you're getting. Those are this is the caliber of person that's in there. The caliber of human being in the jury can be convinced after, 7,000 people testify that this guy brutally raped them. They just go, well, yeah, but they get in that jury room to deliberate and they all forgot what they heard. Somebody's like, it sounds a little ridiculous, a lot of what they were saying there. It sounds a little ridiculous, actually. I've had sex 2 times, and it sounds like a little ridiculous what they're saying. It sounds like a lot of them are making it up. I actually don't think you can have sex in the ways they were describing. I don't believe it. The jury room is a bunch of people that should not be allowed to, like, decide the fate of anything, and they're tasked with deciding this. But that's why the Maureen Comeys of the world are there to kind of guide the prosecution so that they're not, like, completely focused on the entire thing. Diddy knows a lot of shit. It's clear. Diddy's friends with politicians. He's friends with everybody. And he's getting off. He's getting off. They're all coming back. I said this. I predicted this all months ago. Everyone's coming back. If cancer doesn't get Weinstein, he's coming back. Everyone's coming back. There's Diddy will be in the Hamptons by August, perhaps. I don't know. But I mean, he's going to be. There'll be a documentary in a few years being made by a Diddy truther who will explain to you how the entire thing was like the result of like one disgruntled employee. Watch. Predicting it now. People go, what really happened there? What even was that? And they're good. And it's always these guys. It's like with Epstein. They're already doing it. They're already like, what is this intelligence connection these people bang on about? Why would you even suggest that? It's literally direct quotes from people going, I was told not to pursue the investigation. He was, quote, owned by intelligence. It had become an intelligence matter. He belonged to intelligence. That was a direct quote. He belonged to intelligence. That's literally a quote. And then there's people coming out and I go, why would you even say that? It's just gaslighting on a huge level. I have with Diddy. They'll just start talking about it was just employees that didn't like it. Weren't there parties, people getting taped, doing weird stuff, raping people? They go, yeah. It's just somebody didn't like them. It was like, you know, I think it's driver or something. It'll always be framed as something other than probably what it is, which is a honeypot operation being run by our government. They're not going to say that. They're not going to go, well, you know, we enforce a lot of social and cultural things by just entrapping everyone and bonding them in the sense that it's mutual assured destruction and they all have to kind of go out and say the things we kind of want them to say or we're going to have a huge problem. They're not going to say that. They're just going to say, well, this was like, yeah, this guy, he got like mixed up in a few things. He's like mixed up and there was a whole, and I'm not some crazy moralist. You want to have an orgy, have an orgy. But if people are getting on the stand going, I was raped. And then the jury's like, no, you weren't. Shut up. The new immigrant detention center constructed in Florida's Everglades, Alligator Alcatraz, was built in 8 days and now it is flooding. Trump's people are building a immigrant detention center in the middle of the swamp. Part of this money is this big, beautiful bill that they passed where they're going to use a chunk of it for the deportation of people. I've said, like Rogan and other people, that the immigration raids that are random are pretty barbaric. And I think they will ultimately lose support for Trump and the idea of having a secure border, which I think is an important thing, but because they are random, you're collecting people that are law-abiding, that have been in the country a very long time, that have committed no crime. You're picking people up in church parking lots at high school graduations. It's inhumane. And I think a lot of people feel that way. But in fairness to the Trump team, they did think of this and say, what if we put them all in a prison surrounded by alligators? Would that make it feel more humane? And it's that type of forward thinking that I think we should appreciate. Like, I think Trump and his people were like, sure, people find these raids to be a bit abrupt. And, soulless, unkind. But if we then took the people we swept up and put them in a prison built in an alligator swamp, would that make people feel better about it? So I think they're at least recognizing that their policy has been a bit controversial. And they're saying, how could we make it more palatable? Is there a what about a fortress surrounded by lions? Would that make more sense? If we got a bunch of gardeners who are in the country illegally and people are like, well, that seems a little fucked up. And you're like, hold on a minute. You don't know where we're taking them. And they're like, oh, where? To like see a judge or something? No, we're taking them to a fortress surrounded by lions. What if we put them in a cage in a snake pit? Have we thought about that? Because I don't think alligators are the only animal we could consider, because America, the great thing about it actually is that there's many different regions and many different kind of killer animals. Bear with me. I spent a lot of time on the east end of Long Island, no offense. Montauk, the tip of Long Island, a underwater penal colony. It's a big shark cage. And the migrants are in it, and the sharks keep swimming by them. Why stop at alligators? Now, I know you might say, well, it seems inhumane to just surround people with wildlife that could kill them. Sure, but we've got a lot of wildlife. We don't pay alligators. Here's the good news. They're free. Now, I mean, I'm just saying, it's a great way, I think, to show that it's not just a heartless policy. It's a policy that we've put a lot of thought into. And one of the thoughts we've had is what killer animal lives in which region, and what type of prison could we build in said region where the killer animal lives? For example, you could do something with the jellyfish, sharks, snakes. Brown recluse spiders are too small. But I'm thinking like mountain lions, a fun Northern California migrant prison surrounded by pumas that just paw at the glass. Now you might be saying, well, that seems inhumane. I guess. But I think it's good that that's the direction we're moving in. It's good that we're moving in this Tiger King direction with border enforcement. It seems great. I don't think it'll have any backlash. No backlash at all. Just like the election of Mondami isn't the backlash for all these idiots like Daniel Loeb and all these guys tweeting, it's going to be a hot commie summer, the Bill Ackman types. Take their phones. All these billionaires in the Hamptons tweeting about Mondami, every time you tweet about him, the guy goes up and he's going to win again. He's going to win. And maybe he'll be good, maybe not. I have reservations. But at the end of the day, if you keep tweeting and then people Google your house and hit image, you're fucked. Shut up. So it does seem to me that there's a chance that this will have backlash. There'll be a backlash to this. Taking people off the street, masked people, grabbing people off the street, and then sending them to a prison surrounded by alligators feels like eventually people are going to be persuaded that actually, if this is the way to have a immigration policy, a lot of people are going to go, well, I guess just fuck it. If it's going to be so over the top and insane and so disruptive and so inhuman, and we're putting six-year-old girls in handcuffs and we're locking people up. Now, the hardcore base of his will love this. They will love it. They'll think it's great. They'll think it's great that people are in a cage and they're surrounded by lizards. They will enjoy it. But the vast majority of people, I think, will probably look at all of this and say this is a little absurd. And it doesn't seem like a first world country. A first world country locking people in a cage in the middle of an alligator moat seems to be not the way as a first world country. And again, as a guy that believes that we should have a very strict immigration policy, and if you're a criminal, you should be removed. And even people that have come here recently perhaps have to go as well because they don't have the roots in places. And I believe in that. You have to come here and, you know, speak English and like assimilate. I believe all of those things for your own success and the success of the overall society. Making this issue about these guys in masks, plain clothes officers in masks, performing raids, ripping people and putting them in a prison in the middle of the Everglades does not seem like a first world country's thing to do. I'm all for people seeing a judge and having an expedited, you know, removal process. You're not even going to get rid of everybody. You can enforce E-Verify, which holds employers accountable. If Trump was putting the employers of illegal labor in this prison, then that's different. If you're going to put everyone in it, if you're going to put all of these guys that have encouraged this and are paying these people no money, if they're going to go in the prison with them, then that's great. But if you're not going to do anything against the people who are profiting from undocumented workers, and you're just going to go around and throw gardeners in a zoo, it's an exhibit from a zoo. I mean, why even build a prison? Let's just commandeer the Six Flags Safari and do that. Why even build a prison? Go into the Six Flags Great Adventure Safari or Busch Gardens or any of the safaris. You already have the natural environment with dangerous animals. Go down there and then just say, this is the immigrant prison now. Remember Six Flags? Now it's the immigrant prison. The Six Flags Safari is the immigrant prison. Why not? Well, I mean, it seems if this is the solution to the problem, we have prisons, right? Don't we have prisons? Do we need special detention centers where nobody has any rights and the Constitution doesn't apply and it's in the middle of an alligator pit? It just seems to me that it's a recipe for something very bad and very dark, especially when people start piping up. I don't really love this Palantir. Why are we giving Israel all this money? Who's going to eventually find their way into this prison system, by the way? Who's going to find their way into this? I don't know. I'm sure citizens will begin to see the inside of the Everglades detention facility 1,000%. The idea that citizens won't go into these places feels like a very unrealistic thought, that it will just be the worst of the worst. If I was convinced that these were the worst of the worst, rapists, murderers, and they're here illegally and they go to this prison and then they're deported, I'd go, yeah, great. I feel like it will watch. It'll start like that, and then it'll be just any immigrant, and then it might be a citizen who acts up. Because what makes a citizen might change. So the idea of letting the government handle this money to Palantir, build a digital police state, also construct a labyrinth of prisons, because this will be number one, but coming soon to a theater near you, there'll be others. Letting the government do all of this stuff and then just sitting back and saying, we hope it's used for the worst of the worst, is not a good plan. Giving all this power to people that run your country, it might be AOC next. Are you going to like that when AOC's got a bunch of prisons and a ton of power and a ton of extrajudicial power? And we know the courts are not the be-all, end-all, but like AOC can do anything she wants. And the president has all this power and there's a labyrinth. Now AOC has a digital police state that Palantir has built for her. Is that going to work? Would you like that? Is that going to be fun? Does anyone think that's a good idea? And the culture swings far to the left, and the Mom Donny types get elected, and they're going after people's money. They're shutting your digital banking off, and they're enforcing hate crimes laws like they do in Britain, where a woman tweeted, burn the migrant hotel. Again, not a thing I would have tweeted, but is now doing 8 months in jail. Is that going to be good? Do we want these prisons set up around the country for when people decide, hey, by the way, we don't love what you tweeted about Islam or about migrants or about anything. We don't love what you tweeted about race. We don't love what you tweeted about Israel. We think what you're tweeting is a hate crime. Is it a good idea to have a digital police state being built by Palantir and then have a labyrinth of prisons that we hope are just used for the wink, wink, worst of the worst. Wink, 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 wink. It'll just be the worst of the worst. So, you know, I believe there's $100 million in the bill, in the big, beautiful bill being doled out to different organizations to fight anti-Semitism. By the way, can I be one of those organizations? How do you become one of those? What is the accredited system you need to become an institution that fights anti-Semitism? Can I get government money to fight anti-Semitism? I would love to do it. I'll do it right now. I will do it right now if I get a little bit of money, because there's a lot of money in that bill that goes to things like that. So giving people more and more power over your life and saying that you hope that it is used, and again, I am a proponent of building the American working class, eliminating, I don't think it's a good idea. I think what's happening in Britain now is wild. The entire society is being torn apart because the amount of immigrants and migrants that they have resettled in the past 10 years has torn the country apart. It's been an absolute abomination for many countries in Europe, the Netherlands and Britain, trying to assimilate people from a vastly different culture overnight into an existing economic, political, cultural landscape that has been developed over hundreds or thousands of years. And the idea that there's not going to be significant growing pains, economic disruption, cultural issues, that there's not going to be issues with the court system, with the way communities are reacting to each other, the way that crime is looked at, the value systems that are vastly different. These are huge problems. It's the biggest issue in the world. It is not Vladimir Putin and it's not Iran. The biggest issue in the world right now is the mass migration of people from one area to another. It's the biggest issue in the world. First world societies dealing with immigration from largely the third world. It is the biggest issue. It is motivating all the political change in Europe, all the political instability in Britain, in the Netherlands. This is becoming, and the way that it's being dealt with is as a lot of these countries are enforcing literal totalitarian speech regulations where you will be dragged out of your house, put in handcuffs, and put in jail for a tweet. And if you think it can't happen here, you're wrong. But it's happening there right now. If you tweet the wrong thing, if you say the wrong thing, if what you say is considered a hate crime, you can actually go to jail. If you express a displeasing sentiment to the government, you can be put in jail for something that you've said online. During 2020 and George Floyd and all this stuff, lots of people were fighting white people, were tweeting white people should feel pain, da-da-da-da-da, all kinds of things that could have been interpreted as a threat of violence. I didn't want to see any of those people in jail. I didn't want to see them kicked off social media. I said people can vent their frustrations and they're saying things and a lot of it's high emotion and whatever, but I don't want any of those people deplatformed and I certainly didn't want them in jail. So this is a massively complicated issue that is driving lots of people, but ripping people that are working at a job, throwing them in a truck, putting them in an alligator prison, giving the government the ability to deport them to El Salvador, not a judge involved, no rights. People that criticize Israel on a college campus being picked up. People that wrote op-eds. It is very much the beginnings of a police state. Now, obviously, immigration is a real issue, and you're going to need to detain people and deport them. But the way you do it matters. The optics matter, the actual process matters, because if you think it will just be the worst of the worst, immigrants that have committed crimes, it's not. It will be anybody they want, and soon it'll be American citizens, and it probably is ready. And now the digital part of that is the giveaway to Palantir and the AI. And we're not going to regulate artificial intelligence. And no local municipality will be able to regulate artificial intelligence. And the AI tech guys are going to build an Orwellian digital police state. And then there is a brick and mortar police state being built with prisons all over the country. And you just have to hope that the people in those prisons are your enemies. Because at the end of the day, there's no guarantee that what those prisons were originally built for is what they'll be used for. You have to be smart enough to think about that. When they passed the Patriot Act and they said, we're doing this because of terrorism and because of 9/11. And then it was used to spy on Americans and surveil Americans, and it created this. This is what happens. When you give the government powers, you can never take them away. It doesn't take them away. So if you have any concern with freedom, with autonomy, with the ability to live your life, express opinions on the internet, off the internet, and you don't want to live in a police state, stuff like this has to disturb you. That bill has to make you think a little bit, not only about, obviously, whatever, people getting thrown off Medicare, which is tragic, but also something that happens all the time. People get kicked off their health care all the time. We have a terrible health care system. But the larger story to me will be, is this the beginning of the way they deal with people when AI starts eliminating all of the jobs? Is this, and I'm not saying everyone's going to Alligator Alley, but or Alcatraz, whatever it is, but is this the beginning? Is this the beginnings? Is this the architecture of the type of country that we're going to live in where you're able to be disappeared? And whatever you say on social media is going to be considered a crime, a thought crime. And are you going to be able to be disappeared? Or what rights will you have? And what are you allowed to criticize? And whom are you allowed to criticize without significant retribution? Those are real things that people should think about. So it's not just like, wow, happy 4th, Diddy's innocent, and we're all happy about that. Obviously we are. And obviously it's good to know that he's going to come home to his children and continue to be a good father. But there are definite things here that you should pause and go, wait a minute. Should we be constructing a lightning prison? Should we be constructing a prison where it's the electricity we put on the top of a mountain and it just lightning hits it? It just seems crazy. I don't know that we need to build these types of places, because there's going to be a significant backlash. There was a significant backlash to Wall Street guys running America for 50 years. And you're going to see it. One of it was Donald Trump, by the way. That was backlash number one. You're going to see it in New York City. You're going to see that the center is completely gone. You have people on the far left now, people on the far right. But everybody, and that's why every article is like, do you know how much it costs for a cup of sand to the Hamptons? That's $1,000. These Hamptons beaches where you bring your own sand and it's $80,000 a day. I just want to start producing fake articles. This hot dog is $10,000 in the Hamptons. A hot dog made out of solid caviar truffle gold is being eaten in. I just want to start producing fake videos and see if they'll get traction. Being like, this baked clam is $15,000 in the Hamptons. Called the platinum clam. It's a regular clamshell stuffed with platinum. You can't even eat it. It's $15,000. I mean, it's the inevitable reality of any society that flaunts their wealth to the degree that this society does, that there will be some type of uprise. You can't do this to people forever. You can't do this to people forever. You can't eat like $300 popsicles on your $80 million yacht while people are dying of cancer because they can't afford chemo. You can't do this forever and then expect people to just not lose it. People are going to lose it. They're going to lose it. You can't have 35 shows about these bimbos selling real estate. You just can't. While people are getting evicted. People are getting evicted. And in their final night in their apartment, they're watching Selling Sunset, where models sell mansions to criminals. And they know tomorrow they have to wake up and go live in a halfway house. You can't do it. You can't write articles about the golden chicken nuggets that some billionaire is feeding his kids in East Hampton while people are sitting in an Uber driving from one part of the city to the other. Like, and then when the person gets out of the Uber, they shut off the air conditioning because they can't afford it until they pick up the next guy. They can't afford the AC. I've had conversations with Uber drivers about, it drains the gas too much. I turn it on when I get a ride. Like, people are fucked. And the more you throw it in their face, the more they're going to lose their mind. They're going to elect anyone. They'll elect ISIS. If ISIS got up and was like, you should be able to afford rent. People go, all right. Diddy could win on that platform right now. It's about the fact that people have been completely abused and financially they don't know what to do. I get it. I have people come and stay in my house. And it's again, I'm like the poorest guy that lives out there. And we go to a farmer's market and they look at this shit and they go, yeah. I mean, they're like, what the fuck? It's so beyond. And I'm not saying everything has to be for everyone. I'm not saying everyone should live whatever in fucking, you know, Manhattan or any of these expensive places. I'm saying you can't shove it in people's face like this. It's too much. Jeff Bezos and Lauren said they have this wedding. They don't even do it in America. They don't even give jobs to Americans. Do it in Aspen, you pigs. They do it in fucking Italy. Do it in Venice. They got Leo and all these people standing there. I mean, people are looking at that wedding. They're reading about that wedding. They have three kids in an old minivan, and they're driving around Texas, and it's 115 degrees. And they're sweating, and the food they bought is starting to spoil because it's so hot, and they're rushing to get back to their house to throw it in the refrigerator, and they hope the grid doesn't go down, and they've got the kids in the back seat screaming, you know? And the kids are like, Mommy, turn this off. Who is this? And she's like, I'm listening to Tim Dilly's a genius. He's the only one who understands this world. And these kids are fighting each other. She goes, stop fighting. And they go, put on something else. And she goes, shut up. I'm listening to the only man worth listening to on this planet. Without his voice, I'd be dead. You don't keep me alive. He does. This scene is playing out across this country. It's playing out across this country. It's playing out across this country right now. People tune into this show just for another reason. Another reason. When I said the show will be a little late, but it's coming. You know what happened? A gun left someone's mouth. A gun came out of their mouth because I said the show would happen. What was I saying? The point is this. You can't continually fuck people in their face and have them go, thank you for that. I appreciate you. These billionaires have gone out of their mind. Stop this. What are you doing? Bezos, this is your second wedding. You're bald. Just do something quiet. What are you doing?
They've become supervillains. Musk, Bezos, they're all supervillains. Zuckerberg, all these freaks. I'm telling you, the next wave is going to be, it's going to be so radical and so understandable. Not that I'll even agree with its aims, but like, because those things tend not to work when you seize the means to protect. None of this works. You need to incentivize people to make cool shit and to do things. You need to incentivize people to actually have a stake in their societies and communities. Not everything can be run by the government. Not everything should be run from people at 30,000 feet. People closer to decisions generally make them better. That's why people that own real estate care more about a community than people who rent. And the people that own only care about it if they live in the community. Some of them might own a bunch of it and might care a little bit, but they don't care that much because their kids aren't in the schools. It's not like they're using the airport or the infrastructure. They care about it only in the sense of an investment. Real estate may go up even if the town goes to shit. So my problem with when you start running everything by the government is a lot of it's inefficient. You don't get less inequality. You actually historically get more. But that doesn't mean it's not understandable. It's completely understandable why people want to throw people like Bezos into a furnace because of the way he's behaving. You can't behave like this. In the Hamptons, you're supposed to just eat fish and potato. You're not supposed to eat a melon that's shipped in from Japan. Why are you shipping a melon in from Japan? There's farms on that island. You eat the corn. Why do you have to ship a melon in for Japan? And then there's an article about this melon is $1 million and it's being eaten in the Hamptons. People are reading this. They're reading this on their phone in a tent. There's people in a tent watching people negotiate real estate deals on their phone. I'm telling you, homeless people with iPhones watch this show. They certainly watch Owning Manhattan or Selling Sunset or any of this other dumb shit. There are people right now in a tent watching people negotiate high-value real estate transactions while they live in a tent. There's people watching the Kardashians fly around on private jets to have little arguments with each other in stores they own in a tent. They're watching this in a tent. There's couples living in tents. There are people living in vans. They're doing well. People living in vans are doing good. So my point is that, like, I understand where this rage is coming from. And does it go to a productive place? It rarely does. But I understand where it comes from. It's absolutely natural. We have destroyed human beings in this country. We've destroyed them. And then you have all the types that come out and just start talking about opportunity. And it's all around you. It's all around you. Stop. Just seize it. Grab it. And it all comes down to drop shipping and crypto. It's all fraud and a scam. They're criminals. It's just being a scam artist. Well, you got to optimize for, like, no, you're a criminal. That's okay. That's fine. Go get yours. But you're a criminal. You're just telling people to be a criminal. That's not new. Well, you actually have to optimize for, like, you're a criminal. That's okay. You've learned some online criminal conduct. Congrats. It's fine. You don't have any talent. It's not unique. You're a criminal. And that's fine. That's always been an important part of our economy is institutionalized criminality. But that's what it is. All these, like, alpha bro influencer types that are telling you how much money is to be made in the world. It's like, you know, you're going to work on a boat. You're going to work on a boat. Can you get Tiesto's The Business but copyright free? Is that possible? I kind of know him. Maybe I'll just tweet at him and go, don't sue me. But I think someone sues on behalf of them. you're going to work on a boat, and it's actually a good life. Let's see if we can play it. Okay, no copyright remix. Let's get down, let's get down. Give you one more night to get it. You're gonna work on a boat. Yeah. You're just gonna be on a boat, and it's gonna be going fast. And you're just gonna be sitting there, and you'd be looking at the horizon. All right, we're gonna get scammed. They'll kill us. But that's all you need out there. That's all you need is to work on a boat. Don't get upset about this either. Literally, the first thing anyone should do is listen to the show right now is investigate opportunities to go seasonally work on a boat. Do charters. You stay in shape. You have sex. You look good. It's a hard long-term plan. So you're going to have the wherewithal around 45. It's a tough thing to turn 50. At 46 years old, you're going to be the old gal on the boat. You're going to have the strength. It's very hard to grow old in that lifestyle. You're going to have the strength to walk to the bow. Because everybody else is going to be asleep. And you're going to have to walk to the... What's the back? Is it the bow or the stern? What is it? You know? You don't know. There's absolutely no way you know.
Stern.
You can walk to the stern. And you're going to hear it like you know... And you're just going to think about how fun it was to dance and let's get down to business. You're going to get up on the stern and you're going to be really drunk and you're going to drown yourself. You're going to jump off the boat and you're going to drown and they're not going to find your body. You're just going to be a legend. It's a watery grave. You're going to have to, you're going to do it 48 years old, 48. And you're going to walk to, and you just go, tonight's the night. But if you're 20 and you're listening to this, it's a good, you know, you can make it to 50. It's a good 30 years on that boat. And then you just drown yourself when you're 50 years old, because it's hard to get old in that life. So you have to drown yourself. You have to drown yourself at the end. After you've danced and sang and hooked up with different people on boats, at 50 years old, you have to walk to the back of this boat, the stern, we found out, and you have to drown yourself and give your body to the sea. You have to drown yourself after this. But it's going to be 30 years of that song that, let's get down to business. And you're going to hear that. There's going to be a moment when you first jump into the water that, and you see the boat and it keeps going. Hopefully they don't catch you. That's really demoralizing. If they catch you and find you, they bring you back on the boat and you're just like wet. You have to explain to them. You're like, well, I'm getting older and I was going to drown myself. They're like, are you just drunk? Or are you trying to drown yourself? Like, I'm actually trying to drown myself. They go, why? Yo, well, I'm getting older, and it's hard to get old in this life. And the people in the boat are going to be like, oh, my God, no. But that's why you have to do this quietly, because then they're going to make all these horrible arguments for you to live. They'd be like, no, but, like, you're so much fun. You're like, don't drown yourself. You're so much fun. Remember last week when we were at the bar and like John fell and it was so fun. And you go, yeah, I can't do that anymore. I can't do this. You'll get it when you get to my age. I just want to drown myself. I'm trying to drown myself. So hopefully they don't find you. And when you're in the water, you're going to realize that you're actually going through with it. And there's going to be a moment where your fight or flight kicks in. You're going to start to swim towards the boat, but you can't. You can't. Hopefully a current prevents you because you got to do it. You know what I mean? So you're going to be in the water and then there's a fight. You try to swim for a little bit. Then you start laughing. There's a moment where you go, what? Well, the sea is powerful. And then you're going to float for a little bit. Like an angel. You're going to lay on your back and you're actually going to float like an angel in the water. And the boat now is kind of almost out of view. But you still see the lights. It's not quite out of view. And you realize that it's it. You realize that it's it. It's all over with the crying now. And the water's not even that rough. And you realize you'll probably, you know, the current is, you know, but then you realize it's sharks. And you realize that you feel something just kind of nip. You don't know what it is at first. And then you feel, it's probably a tiger shark. They're very aggressive. And it grabs you and it begins to pull you under. And you realize in that moment, it's over now. You're being eaten by a shark in the Bahamas because you jumped off a boat. And there's a split second where you go, ugh, really? Really? I was trying to drown myself. But it happens so quickly that you can't really put two and two together. And then life just flashes before your eyes. You remember being young. You remember the song, The Business. You remember dancing at all the different bars. You remember the beautiful sunsets and the beautiful sunrises. You remember the hard days and the bad days. You remember the good and the bad of it all. And as the shark rips you limb from limb, I mean viciously rips you limb from limb, I mean rip, they'll never find you. You'll actually just be food for the sea, the thing that you've spent your life on. You know what I mean? And the shark's going to rip you up. And you're going to remember, this all started because I heard a podcast 4th of July weekend where this guy told me to work on a boat. And you're going to say, and I don't regret it. Even as a shark rips you, and you're pretty sure you're in two. Like your head's still kind of working, but you're pretty sure you don't have a lower body. And you go, I, and you'll thank me. Even then you'll go, thank God I heard that podcast. I had a great life. Yes, I'm 50 years old and being eaten by a shark in the Bahamas. Whatever. Listen, it's going to be a great, you're going to say, thank you. Thank God I heard that. And thank God I spent my life working on a boat. It was one of the last jobs. And when I got to the age, I did exactly what that guy in the podcast said. I said, walk to the stern and drown yourself when you age out. Because there's no, you haven't saved any of your money. Why would you? It's just coke and booze. Let's get down to booze. You don't have a little house. Nothing you thought was going to happen. Oh, I have a little cottage in New England. No, you won't. Drown yourself at the end. And a shark will eat you. Smart if you slit your ankle and you bleed out in the ocean. You're actually smart. And you just slit your ankle a little bit and it's bleeding. You jump in the, and you just chill until they come. I'm telling you right now, this is the best advice you'll ever get in your life. And if you don't listen to it, fine. But there's someone out there that's going to listen to this. I'll be dead, long dead, by the time you're getting eaten. But if you, right now, go work on a boat every summer and a lot of the winter, and you spend 30 years from 20 years old right now, drop out of college, you're an idiot. You go and you work on this boat, and you enjoy yourself. You're probably not going to have kids or anything. It doesn't matter. You have a great life. And one night after a particularly nice day on that boat, and I can't tell you exactly when, you walk to the back and you slit your ankle so you bleed out and you jump in the ocean in the middle of the night and sharks eat you. That is, for an American right now, best case. Best case. And people will talk about that like that years down the line people will say how successful you actually were. You go, your aunt did it right. Your aunt did it right. She worked on a boat for 30 years, sunrise, sunset, some of the most beautiful places in the world. And then at 49 years old, she jumped off the stern and sharks ate her. She did it right. You're going to be saying that in a prison. You'll be in a prison with your whole family. You'll go, your aunt did it right. I stayed here and I talked about immigrants or Muslims and now I'm in a prison. And AOC is coming. Your aunt did it right. She got on a boat when she was young and she stayed there until she literally fed herself to a shark. That's the best case right now for the American middle class, is that you work on a boat and you're eaten by sharks. It's beautiful. It's a magical moment. It's a magical moment. So stop with the Mamdani. Just go get eaten by a shark on the boat. Stop with this Mamdani. Oh, I want everybody's money. Go to the stern. Go to the stern and jump off and cut yourself first so they know where you are. Cut yourself so the fish know where you are. See you next week.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.